trying to get God to do something from earth to heaven, make God move, trying to take his word and make God do something. But without God's plan, God already got a plan. So Jesus gave us a prayer in the 6th chapter of Matthew. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. So God's desire is to get his will that's already established in heaven done upon earth. God has a plan. Everybody say God has a plan. And he has a plan for you. You are part of that divine plan. And the way you implement God's plan is to understand what we're talking about here. Understand your position. Understand your place. I'm not talking on the corporate level. I'm talking about authority on a personal level. See, I need to bring out the cause. I wasn't too satisfied last week to understand the personal. This is personal here. This submission is personal. It's not corporate. God wants to be able to act independently, yet dependently. I don't know if you understand that statement. Independent, but yet dependent. You see? Okay, so let me give you a few definitions first. A couple of definitions. I wrote something down here. And the statement is, the first statement I want to bring out, what is submission? I gave you a definition last week, and I wasn't too satisfied with it. But listen to this. The state of being obedient, the act of accepting the authority, and most people don't like this word, the act of accepting the authority or control of someone else. So they think authority is control. Oh, he's controlling. He's controlling. And so they think that's wrong. No, when you truly understand authority, I'm going to say this. I've been with the apostle so long, I follow him with my eyes closed. Now, some people say, oh, no, you don't want to follow anybody that close. I trust him. So, you can almost say, or I can almost say, that the word control doesn't bother me because I don't understand the capacity of leadership that I have before me. And this control here is not a control like the world does. The world has a control to make you do something. No, we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that controls us. All right. You ever heard the statement? You can't control your children. Some people can't control their children. You should be able to control your children. And what do you mean? You mean I should be able to discipline my children in a way that they'll be able to submit to when I say something. Now, I've seen people, they keep telling the children the same thing over and over. And I just get frustrated. I say, no, this ain't going to go. Not in my house. When I grew up, I went old school. My dad said, I'm going to tell you one time. And that's it. After that, your behind belongs to me. He didn't talk twice. No. And you knew that because he had set a standard of government within the home. So he didn't play. So when we come to the church, we think we do what we want to do without any control. I'm using that word control on purpose. Without any government, without any authority. All right? We never understood it. All right? I told you about the man with the horse last week. Or did I? I told you about the man with the horse. Huh? But he couldn't break the horse. I didn't tell you that story. But let me tell you this story. And it's not in my notes, but what happened was, This man's a professional heartbreaker. I watched this with my own eyes. Nobody told me the story. A little boy sitting on the fence watching a man break a horse. And he tried to get on the horse bucked him off. So now, the horse don't want to submit to a saddle. Are you with me? Every time he put the saddle on, the horse bucked and the horse threw us, wouldn't even let the man put the saddle on. So what the man did was he lowered sacks of sand, tied the horse down, lowered sacks of sandbags upon his horse, tied up on his horse. The horse couldn't move. And he walked around the circle, I don't know how many times, until you know what the horse did? Give me the saddle. He force broke this horse. God don't function like that. God don't force break us. God wants us to obey at our own what? Will. God's the God that deals with your will. Never force submission. Never force obedience. God always deals with your will. If you be, what is that, willing? He didn't just say obedient. There's certain things that's willing obedience. That's the difference. Willing obedience. That's when my heart goes with my obedience. Because you can obey without your heart in it. You can do things without your heart involved in it. And it's not obedience at all. It's an action. But it's not submission. You see it? And for a long time, I thought submission and obedience were the same thing. You can be obedient in your action, but rebellious in heart. It took me a long time to understand that. Why people look like they're doing the same thing. You know, they look like they're functioning in ministry, but the whole while they're complaining and grumbling. That's not submission at all. No. They're doing it because they think they're doing the will of the Lord, but their heart not in it. You think they're getting a reward for that? They might fool the pastor, might fool some pastor, but you ain't gonna fool apostle. No, he'll pick up on it a little bit. Why? Because rebellion has an order to it. I'm talking about spiritually. It has an order to it. It stinks in God's nostril. You can pick up a rebellious person. It's a scent. And you can tell when somebody's doing something easy to be seen, or then their heart not nowhere in it. We're gonna look at Samuel in 1 Samuel or somewhere down this line here. But I feel better now, but since we got a little bit better idea of what I'm trying to get out here. Now listen to this. The state of being obedient, the act of accepting the authority or control of someone else. That's submission. Now, why is rebellion so dangerous? That's a good question, huh? Rebellion is so dangerous because it's an open door to demonic bondage. Wow. Rebellion is so dangerous because it's an open door to demonic activity, demonic bondage. Go to 1 Samuel 15, I think it's 23. Excuse me. 1 Samuel 15, 23. Now, I need somebody to read it for me. Read it real loud where everybody can hear it. 1 Samuel 15, 23. We're going to see that rebellion can lead you to demonic bondage or demonic activity because you're functioning on a principle that's not of God. God deal with principles. Somebody got it yet? Who got it? Read it.
For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft.
Wow.
And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry.
Hold it right there. That's good. Rebellion is as the sin of what?
Witchcraft.
And stubbornness is as what?
Iniquity and idolatry.
Wow. God makes rebellion, put rebellion in the same family with witchcraft. Sorcery. Demonic activity. But so people don't like that word. They say, oh, no, that's not the same thing. What? It's not. Okay, I'm going to show you then. I'm glad you say that. Listen to this. God's word tells us that rebellion is in the same category of sin as witchcraft itself. And witchcraft is communicating with the devil or with familiar spirits. That's what witchcraft is. You see, it don't sound like it's, you know, like I'm doing anything demonic. You might not seem like doing anything demonic, but here's the problem. Here's the problem that people don't realize, that rebellion functions on a satanic principle, God-given principle. Rebellion deals with satanic principle. Now, we can prove that by looking at the origin of Satan. You saw that part in your book? We're going to find out Satan's origin, and we're going to realize that this satanic principle is destructive. And it's punishable only by death. God wants us to know this. Watch this now. Watch. The archangel turned into Satan when he overreached God's authority, competed with God, and thus became an adversary of God, and rebellion was the cause of his fall. Rebellion was the cause of Satan's fall. So with that, I need you to look at Isaiah 14 and 12 now. We're going to see Satan's origin, and we're going to see what really happened, and we're going to see that his nature fell upon the earth. All right? And that nature, well, the Bible called him the God of this world. That nature has a that's a controlling nature. Satan has a controlling nature. He wants to control you. I ain't talking like God wants to control you. God controls you at your will, but Satan will control you against your will. It's a difference. Now, Isaiah 14 and 12, give me a reader. Here's somebody to read. I want to get you involved. Who's going to read? Who got it? You read.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation?
Keep reading.
Okay. For thou hast said in thine heart.
Hold it right there. This was the first step of him walking in this demonic, rebellious principle. These two words, I will, is a satanic term. Why? Because it's separating your will from that of another. You see it? I will. All right, keep reading. I will ascend into heaven.
I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.
Wow. Hold it right there. Satan's desire was to be like God. He wanted to be equal with God. And at that time, God had no place for that type of spirit. Now, let's recognize Satan's nature. Let me read you a little bit about Satan's nature, okay? Just at this now. I might go to another study here. Satan has a nature of his own, and we're going to see one of the reasons why he did what he did, why God disallowed it. All right? Listen at this. God chose to present a choice to Satan. Well, let's not use the word Satan yet. A choice to the angels. See, Satan was one of God's chiefest angels. But even the angels function by will. What I'm saying by will. They serve God by will. God don't want anybody to serve him unwillingly. And what happened is, that's why God don't make a person get saved. As many and receive him, to them gave he power to become what? Sons of God. And many, so you're saved by choice. I'm saved because I want to be saved. I live right because I want to live right. I want to. It's my choice. I serve God the way I do because I want to serve God. I love him. But you got another person don't will to do that. God's not going to make him do it. You don't want a woman to love you, to make you, to make her love you. Can you live with a woman? You're going to love me. How you going to make somebody love you? No, I want you to love me because you love me. I don't want to live with nobody. I got to make them love me. You can't buy their love. No, you got to love me. God's the same way. God don't want to make nobody love him. God don't want to make nobody serve him. God don't want to make nobody obey him. Willing. You see, God is a God of choice. God wants you to willfully love him, willfully obey him, willfully serve him. And anything other than that, God don't want it. God don't want a robot. God said, I can raise up children of these stones if I wanted to. But God don't want no stone children. He wants children with a heart, with love, with feelings, with emotion. God wants a family. Someone get up to, good morning, Lord. Hold conversation with. That's what God wants. God wants to be a lover for us. God wants to be a father. I went on a journey this year, a spiritual journey. I ain't talking about no stupid stuff. I just started reading. I said, I'm going to read the Old Testament all the way through. I said, I'm going to figure God out. I want to find out God's ways, like he showed Moses his ways and his actions. I want to see how God functions. I want to see God's M.O. And when I got to Malachi, I said, I didn't figure God out. Love. God's a God of love. All the things he did, even the people that he had to allow to be destroyed by the ground open up. We're going to look at some of those instances. When the ground opened up and because the people got rebellious, they wouldn't hear Moses. See, people think God was destroying people. They destroyed themselves because they didn't want to hear Moses. Their rebellion called them the anti-God. They called them to be destroyed. And even when the people went into Babylonian captivity, God said, if you turn from your ways, I'll bring you back home. They went to Babylonian captivity on their own accord. God didn't send them there. They went there on their own. So God always wants to bring them back. Always wants to bring his children back home. Come back home. Repent. God said, even if you change your mind now, I'll take you back. I said, Lord, that's love. Good. Thank God that we're not God. Because we ain't got the patience. We ain't got the understanding. We ain't got the... We would have set the whole world on fire a long time ago. We'll get a big ton of gas and just hit the whole, splash on the whole world and just throw a match from heaven and just woof. God is... For how high the heaven is from the earth. I told somebody that yesterday. It's so far. That's how high his mercy is. You can't measure heaven from the earth or the earth to heaven. That's how great his mercy is. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgression from us. You know why he said east from west? Because east will never meet with west. He didn't say north and south. You finally drive, you're going to finally hit south. But you will never get to east. You just keep going. That's how far his forgiveness is. He'll never meet. Is that mercy? Is that grace? That's love. And that's why I saw in God. And so God is the lover of men. God loves people. He wants to love him, but he also wants us to obey him. If we obey God, God will give us anything we want. God will do anything in the world for us if you only obey him. One scripture translates to, if you only let me help you, if you only just obey me. But God got to go through a chain of command, all right? Now, I didn't mean to stay there that long, but I want to show you Satan what happened to him. All right? But it's will, choice. The angel had to follow Satan. Unlike humanity, the choice of the angels had to follow Satan, or a man's favor to God was as an eternal choice. In other words, when Satan fell, a third of the angels went with him. A third. It was by choice. God said, if you want to go, go. But you can't be no half-hearted here. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Some of the angels, you can't make them mind. I'm going to go. I'm going to stay. I'm going to go. I'm going to stay. I don't know what I'm. No, you can't play in this army. Either your heart is with me or your heart is against me. There is no neutral ground here. No neutral ground. I don't know why I'm on this, I use husband and wife a lot. But sometimes a wife, I don't know if I'm going to stay with my husband or leave. Leave! Because I can have you half-minded, half-hearted. Leave! You'll be tormenting me for the rest of my life. Leave! I can't have you hard. Either you're with me or you're not. Leave! I got a good wife, though. But you understand my point? Either you're with me or you're not. Against me or for me. That's the way God is. The disciples said, Lord, they cast not devils in your name. Jesus said, they're not against us. They're for us. Let them cast them out. You see? See, you got to understand that. So, now watch this now. Watch this now. You see, you got to realize what happened was Satan was one of God's chiefest angels. And Satan had a high place with God. Listen at this now. Listen. It seemed that Satan, probably the greatest of all the angels, that's Ezekiel 28 and 12 to 18, if you want to read it. Probably the greatest of all the angels, in pride, listen what did this, in pride, chose to rebel against God in order to seek to become his own God. His pride rose up. The Bible, one translator said he was one of the most beautiful angels there were. And because of his beauty, he had a certain glory with him. His pride rose up. The Bible say pride come right before the what? The fall. His pride rose up, and then he wanted to become a God. My daddy tell us, we were six boys and five girls. My dad said, ain't no too many in this house. He said, you think you're a man, you got to get out of here. Because I'm the man in this house. And so that's the way God is. God said, ain't no two men in this house. Ain't but one God. One God. And so Satan had to go. And Satan had to realize that he wasn't all that. He had to realize that God was God. That God created him. If God created him, guess what? Whoever God created, God can uncreate. Isn't that something? Whoever God exalt can be, give me the opposite of that, can be put down. The Bible says in Psalm that he set it up one and put it down another. If he puts you up, he can pull you down. So don't get too high-minded. Some people get high-minded because they get a little position. Just like God pull you up, God can set you down. So you can't be prideful in this business. You can't be prideful. Jesus said, he that humbled himself, what that principle said, shall be what? Exalted. The key to being promoted is the key to being humble. Most people never learn that principle. They think their knowledge and their skill and their power and their might and their wisdom have put them in a certain position. No. It's God. God worked opposite from the world system. God took nothing and made something. Paul said he chose the base thing of the world. He changed the thing that were not. You see, to bring to pass things that are. God takes something and make nothing. He took a Paul. He took a Leroy Thompson. You see what I'm trying to get at? But that's the way God functions. That's the way God functions. Now, that's what he did. And well, Satan wanted to be God. No, I'm almost through with this now, and I got to move on. Now, watch this now. He wanted to be God. That's Isaiah 14, what you just read here. Revelation 12 and 4 is understood to be a figurative description of one-third of the angels chosen to follow Satan in his rebellion, becoming the fallen angels or demons. That's Revelation 12 and 4, if you want that for reference. Sure, where a third of the sky, a third of the stars fell. That stars represent Satan, fell to the earth. I can prove that by Luke 10 and 18. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall to the earth. And then he said in that next verse, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpent and scorpion, and power over all the enemy, and nothing shall by no means what? Harm you. So Jesus was there. I love that. Jesus was there when the Papa God kicked Satan out of heaven. Jesus witnessed it. He was there. Isn't that something? Jesus witnessed it. You know, he said, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus always was the Father. In the beginning of the Word, Jesus helped create this heaven and earth. Yep. So Jesus always was with God. Now, I want to move forward again. I'm going to move a little bit further. Be going back to our original lesson now. But I want to show you that point of Satan's position and why he fell, all right? Here's one question that you might want to take note down. What principle did Satan use to violate God's authority? And here it is, the principle of self-exaltation. That can be a test question. Be mindful of that question. What principle did Satan use to violate God's authority? And the answer is the principle of self-exaltation. And that's what he used. He wanted to exalt himself, put his stars above the stars of God, and put his throne above the throne of God. And God said, no, this is not going to work here. All right. Now here's a good point. Here's a good point you want to note. Satan is not afraid of our preaching the word of Christ. Yet how very much he is in fear of our being subject to the authority of Christ. Isn't that something? Satan is not afraid of us preaching Christ. You know why? Because there's another principle involved here. And what that principle is, see, God deals with principle. You can preach Christ under the principle of Satan. Wow. See, he don't mind you preaching Christ. Let me go a little further with this so you can understand. This now. Never should we who serve God serve according to the principle of Satan. Whenever the principle according to Christ is preached, is operating, that of Satan fades away. Now, what does that mean? In other words, you can preach Christ in the spirit of rebellion. It got people. Oh, listen to this now. Now, search this for yourself. Sometimes people leave the ministry wrong. And they won't go out on their own, start churches, do their own thing. But they left in rebellion. They left wrong. They left in dishonor. They left in discord. And then they're trying to preach the gospel according to the principle of Satan. They ain't a state of rebellion. They never repented. They just did what they want to do. They disregard authority. They dishonor authority. And then they leave disgruntled and go start a church. And the principle of rebellion. So you can preach Christ. Satan's not afraid of you preaching Christ. You see it? But what he's afraid of, you preaching Christ under the spirit of submission. You preaching according to rebellion. Let me show you another scripture. Go to Matthew 7. I'm going to prove what I'm saying. Go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7 and what? Let me find it. 7 and 21. I want somebody to read that for me. Matthew 7, 21. Give me a man to read this. Read law, like with some authority.
Not everyone that says to me, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of
God. Hold it. See, could you say it to me? Not everyone that what? Not ever that do what? Not read that again.
Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
But he who? What?
But he that doeth the will of my Father.
But he that doeth the will of my Father. Not everyone that cry out, Lord, Lord, or confess that the Lord it's with them. Now you keep reading the next verse, it's gonna tell us something. Keep reading.
Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we not prophesied in thy name?
Uh-huh.
And in thy name have cast out devils?
Uh-huh.
And in thy name done many wonderful works.
Uh-huh.
And then I confess unto them, I never knew you.
Whoa. You heard that? Lord, Lord, we have cast out devils in thy name. I might not say everything you say. We did many wonderful works in thy name. And just you said some other thing. But Jesus said something else. He said, but I never knew you. Because you were functioning under the wrong principle. A satanic principle. This man won't buy the Holy Ghost. And Paul corrected him. He won't buy the Holy Ghost. He won't function in godly thing with a satanic principle. You see? That's not going to happen. That's the satanic principle. That's the spirit of rebellion. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. You see it? So, you can function, you can preach Christ, but not according to principle. You can preach it according to the principle of rebellion. Anybody understand that? So Satan's not afraid of people going out there preaching Christ. He can let churches pop up on every corner. But nothing's going to ever happen. I found another secret out just watching. I found out that birds of a feather, you know the people that leave disgruntled, and rebellious, they all gathered together in a little group. They got a little rebellious group now. The Church of the Rebellious in Christ. And I don't know how they function like that, but they think that, but you know, they never get off the ground. None of these people never got off the ground. Go in the same little circle, and then they want to come back, but don't know how. Because their pride got them, and they say it too much. They let too much rebellious word come out of their mouth and they curse themselves and they can't come back. It's a dangerous place to be in. Some of them finally die enough to be able to come back. Every now and then one trickle in because they're dying out there. They're dying on the vine. One man came, an apostle, and got on his knees. He said, I didn't need to forgive me because ain't I talked, put my mouth on you, and nothing went right since. He begged his repentance. It's a dangerous thing. Gamaliel, they wanted to come against Gamaliel, and one of the apostles, one of the council said, be careful. Gamaliel told him this. Be careful what you do. They wanted to come against Paul and Peter. Not Paul, excuse me, Peter and John. And they arrested him. And then they want to whip him and beat him. But Gamaliel rose up and said, be careful what you do with these men. Because you might find yourself fighting against God. Sometimes you think you're fighting with men. Sometimes you think you're putting your mouth on men. Sometimes you think you're dishonoring men. But you're putting your mouth on God. That's dangerous because they're God's representative. They're God's spokesperson. And boy, I can't hardly wait until we get to Moses. And if they thought they were dealing with Moses, but they find out, God, were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He had to correct them. They thought they were coming against Moses. God said, no, you're coming against me. So that's what the spiritual problem is. People think they're coming against that man of God. They put them out on the man of God, and then they find out later that they cursed themselves because they were fighting against God. God won't play with this. This rebellion is so important. People have lost their lives because of it. People die prematurely. People get sick and can't get well. People can't never get their money right. Their children go off astray and they're rebellious and can't do nothing with their family and wonder what's wrong. They put their mouth against one of God's representatives. And the only way to correct correct rebellion is repentance. You can't just go say, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry. Nope. God said, I'm not the one you got to go repent to. God said, I got a man before me. I got a man that you dishonored. Go get it straight with him. I know a man died here at a time. He died here at a time, and Lord wanted to extend his life. And then he told me a dream he had. And then I interpreted the dream for him. I said, hear what the dream said. The dream said, you got to go get it right with your man of God. He couldn't, and he died early. God wanted to extend. God showed him he wanted to extend his life. Did he go to heaven? Yeah, he probably went to heaven. He went to heaven. But he went too soon. Sometimes people leave soon. Leave their wife and their children. They leave soon. Yeah, they get saved because they accepted Jesus Christ. Yeah, God. Yeah, they probably repent and God forgive them. But it shortened their days of life upon the earth. People don't like this kind of teaching, but it's the truth. This kind of teaching make you live a long life. Because I don't want to be a rebellious person. I don't want to dishonor nobody that God had put before me. You see it? I don't want to think too highly of myself. Okay, that's how much time I got left? Good Lord. Now, I'm almost done. But look what's happening. No, I'm not done, but I'm almost ready to quit. Never should we who serve God serve according to the principle of Satan. Now you understand that statement better? Don't serve according to the principle of Satan. Whenever the principle according to Christ is operating, that of Satan fades away. In other words, principle of Christ is the principle of obedience. And when you operate in the principle of obedience, the principle of Satan fades away. Satan can't stand that when you're preaching Christ according to the principle of obedience. He loses his authority. You see, look, you know, people, I've been with apostles a long time. And I tell them, I say, look, if you don't want an apostle to know something, don't do it or say it in front of me, because I'm going to tell. So they don't tell them, they don't do it or say that in front of me, because I'm going to tell the apostle. Yeah, I'm going to tell. Are you going to tell? Yes, I am. Just don't say it in front of me or do it in front. Why? Because so what it is, the principle of Satan fades away because they're not going to say it in front of me. Yeah, you better be a tattletale. Yeah, if I see somebody doing something wrong or saying something wrong or doing something that not submitted to the rules of this ministry, yes, we're going to correct it. Yeah, we're going to correct it. Okay, so I got one more question before my clock is over with. Hurry, Ronald. One more question. I just got to put the question out for the class day. Okay, this third question is, and I'm going to give the answer. What principle did Satan use to violate God's authority? The principle of self-exaltation. And here's the last one. In the Lord's Prayer, the word and bring us not into temptation points to Satan's word. Blank. I got blank. The words and bring us not to temptation, you know, in the prayer, it points to Satan's word. All right? Okay. So look, for your assignment, I want to read the next chapter in the book called The Controversy of the Universe. And that's you read that, then we'll be on the same page when we talk about it next week. All right, class? Thank you so much.